let's go to John chapter 13 just for a little bit tonight. John chapter 13. And this is a different perspective of the Lord's Supper and what the events prior to his betrayal by Judas and all of that. So let's just look at it. We're going to kind of hop, skip, and jump. But here's what I want you to do. As we go through it, and this is going to be the setting where Jesus, after the supper, and we'll read it here in a moment, but after the supper, he takes a towel, he girds himself with it, he takes a basin of water, whether the basin was already there, evidently, and the water was already there, and he washed the disciples' feet. So what I would like to do, just for very few minutes, not long at all, but for a very few minutes, I would like for you, as I am, to consider the significance of the sequence of what he did. He didn't announce it. He just did it. What would the significance of that be? He didn't just get the water and splash it on their feet and kind of rub it off with his hand, but he took a towel. And he didn't just put the towel over his arm like a waiter would do and walk over and pour a little water on the feet of the disciples and then maybe with one part of the towel do the wet, you know, wiping their feet and then flip the other side around and do the drying with it. But there was a sequence to what the Lord did. So what I would like you to do is just do two things. Number one is to just consider why in this sequence. Why did he do what he did? Okay. And then a little bit later, he tells them, do you know why I did that? And he talked about them serving each other in similar fashion. So knowing what he did and knowing the sequence of what he did and probably the reason for the sequence, then what application does that have for us today? We don't believe that it's an ordinance like the Lord's table in baptism that we're commanded to wash each other's feet, but rather we do see the significance of what Jesus did command them, and that was for them to serve each other. So those are the assignments, if you would, just where you are, and I'm not going to call on you. I just want you to think it through. I'll read it, and then I'm going to give myself, and I'll give you time to pause. I've already done it, of course, but I'm going to give you time to pause and say, all right, here's the sequence. Why would he do this first? Or why would he do this after that? Okay? And once you've had 30 seconds or a minute, just a brief amount of time to think through, all right, well, he didn't announce it, and he just got up after the meal, and he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this, and he didn't tell him why ahead of time. He left it to their just kind of trying to figure out what he was doing. And you'll notice the conversation with Peter. I'm not going to read all of that, but you remember Peter. He said, Lord, you're not going to wash me. And I would like for myself and for you to consider, why did Peter say that? I think for good reason. But then when the Lord said, if you don't let me wash, you have no part of me. And he said, Lord, wash my head, wash my hands, wash all of me, Lord. And then the Lord told him that wasn't necessary. Okay, so let's go to the reading and we'll pause. It's not going to take long, but then it wouldn't matter if it did, would it? It really wouldn't matter because this is about our Savior and what he wants for us. And this is not in the Mark's accounting of the gospel and the narrative of the washing. So let's look at it here. Verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own. When it talks about his own there, he's talking about his disciples. We've talked about that before, because it says in the other account, and in John, later on, that in his prayer, he says, Lord, all of those that you have given me, I have kept. Now, there are those who would teach election out of that. But he said, but we know he's just talking about his disciples, because in that same narrative, he says, of all of those you've given me, I have kept all of them, save one. And it's talking, of course, about Judas. He called him the son of perdition. So when he knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were the disciples, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things, go on to verse number 4. Here we go. Here's the sequence. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments. Now that would obviously be his outer garment. They would have an outer garment, kind of like a cloak or a coat that many of you set aside earlier today when we went to the dinner on the grounds, and I have a coat rack in my office, and I was able to put a number of different garments on that rack. A similar setting here. An outer garment. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments. All right, now stop and think. Why did he do that? Why do you think he did that? Do you think he did it because when he knelt down to wipe their feet, he would soil his garment? Now, he knew very soon his garments would be soiled with no problem whatsoever. He knew that. So why did he lay aside his garment? All right, stop and consider it, because that was the very first thing he did. He got up, which would not be unusual, but why then would he lay aside his garment instead of before the meal? Why then? Stop and think. Ask yourself, knowing the sequence, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Okay, on each of these, I'll just ask for a raising of the hand. And if you don't come up with an answer, that's okay. And I'm not even going to ask you to give the answer. This is just for you to think through it. But how many of you, when you stop and think about it, okay, why would he do that? How many of you have an answer that may have come to mind? Okay, there's several. Very good, okay. All right, let's go on. He riseth from supper, he laid aside his garment, and he took a towel and girded himself. All right. Now, why would he do that? Laid aside his garment. Can you imagine if you were there at the table? And in traditional Eastern fashion, they didn't sit in a chair and a table like you and I would. In an Eastern fashion, a lot of times what they would do is they would have a table somewhat like maybe Chinese or Japanese, perhaps. Maybe Japanese, but they would have a table down close to where they could just maybe get their legs up under it, where they would be kind of reclined, and in Middle Eastern fashion, a lot of times they would have a large pillowy kind of a substance here that they would kind of just cushion themselves. They would lie at an angle. Somebody else would be lying at an angle. Somebody else would be lying at an angle, and so forth on maybe both sides of the table. On the length of it, maybe even on both sides, with 12 of them there and 13 including the Savior. All right? Do you think it would catch their attention that he rose from supper and he laid aside his garment? But not only did he lay aside his garment, he's up from the table now. Now think with me, if that's an accurate portrayal of where they were seated, they're seated down here, he's standing full up, and do you think that would capture their attention? Oh, I believe so. All right, so let's go ahead. Laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. And that he poured water, there it is, into a basin. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why the sequence? Get up, set aside a garment, go over to the... And poured into, he wasn't pouring into goblets or glasses for maybe another drink, but he poured it into a basin. Maybe it's not striking you as it has stricken me, as it came across my mind. If I was sitting there like Peter or Thomas or Bartholomew or Thaddeus or whomever, and I was there, and what is he doing? He's never done this before. Now, he did tell us that he was going to go away, and if he was going to go away, he would come again and receive us But why is he doing this? Maybe he soiled his hands. Maybe he just wanted to get something that he spilled on his hand. What is he doing? But he's girding himself with a towel. Knowing now what we know, and what they would find out, is that he was going to wash their feet. But can you see the sequence that the Lord took their minds through? Because when he gave the commandment at the end, did he not require of them to serve one another? Yes. So as sequentially, he went through what was necessary to arrive at a place where he was going to command them to do the same thing, or that would just be a picture of what he wanted them to do for the disciples of Christ, as they were called in that day, or people of the way. Not just the disciples of Christ, the 12 minus one in just a few hours from here. But nonetheless, as he put them through it, whatever way in which he had the opportunity, or they would have the opportunity of serving others, that it may be in some occasions where telling someone ahead of time that God's laid you on my heart, that there's a way that God wants me to serve you. It may be your boss. It may be someone who despitefully uses you, who says all manner against you of evil against you falsely, for God's sake, for the Lord's sake. But as you begin to do some things for them, they begin to wonder, why is he doing that? I'm sure I've probably told you this, like I have most everything now that's happened in the Bray life. But I'll never forget my younger son, Cassidy. We went to the store. It was my wife and our two sons that were young. And we went to the store, and I had just a banging headache. Just a headache that just would not go away. And so my wife went on into the store to get whatever it was she was going to get. It was like a pharmacy or something. And she went in, and while she was there, I just leaned my head back on the seat. And just hoping, you know, how sometimes you can get some pressure, and it kind of eases the headache a little bit. I don't know why it works, but sometimes it does. And so I was hoping for that, and I just leaned my head back. Well, I guess maybe it was a minute or two or three. I don't know how long it was. But I felt these little hands come up over my up over the seat. It was old-time seats. You know how that is. No headrest or anything like that. But the little hands came up over and started rubbing my neck. That never happened before. Not with Cassidy. It's usually something he's into, you know. And he's just rubbing my neck. And I guess he was probably 7 or 8. I don't know how. He was just young. Maybe not even that old. He was rubbing my neck. And I thought, if I say something, he's going to quit. He's going to quit. And he just kept doing it. And then my curiosity, I couldn't wait. I just couldn't wait. I said, Cassidy, why are you rubbing Daddy's neck? Because I want to. I said, okay. That's literally what he said. Because I want to. I said, well, that's fine, son. But why do you want to? Never forget it. It goes to my heart, not because of the occasion, but because I want it to be the same way I served the Savior. When he answered me, he simply said this. I wanted to hear you say, that's good, son. That's good. I wanted to hear you say, that's good, son. That's good. When you and I are led of the Holy Spirit, it's just a name that comes in. We can't get it out. We might want to, but we can't get it out. And it just is upon our mind. And then we go to the Lord and say, Lord, this may be an assignment that you're giving me. Normally, I don't think of this individual, and now I can't get away from it. So, Lord, I'm going to assume that you want me to serve them in some way. And unless you show me otherwise, now if you remove it from me, then I won't follow through with it. But if you continue on to keep them on my mind and on my heart, whether I'm close at hand or away, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. Why? Why do I want to do that, Lord? Because I want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But also,
so that the one that I'm serving will come and say, Annie, why, just, you know, I know we're friends and all that, but all of a sudden you've started doing some things, Kaylee or whatever the name is. I don't understand why you're, well, the Lord just laid you on my, the what? The Lord. Now, you know how it is. I'm not a big churchgoer. That's all right. That's all right. The Lord just laid, I'm not trying to manipulate. I'm just, the Lord laid you on my heart, and that's just what I think needs to be done. Is that okay with you? Well, yeah, I guess so. If you want to pull my weeds, I guess you can pull my weeds, or if you want to, whatever it is you're doing. And you're going to find that in the sequence of events, that God will have you travel that journey, not all of a sudden show up and say, God told me to do it, unless the Lord tells you to do it that way. But oftentimes, as God takes you through the sequence, the minds are going to start working. All right, what's he up to? What's she up to? This is a little strange here. I don't know what's going on, until it comes to the point to where the Holy Spirit says, now let them know. Or they ask and they open a divine appointment that may be someone that's not saved. I'm so very glad that my dad, I used them for an illustration this morning about my dad's family. None of them were saved, not a one of them. They were all in lifestyles and things. They weren't mean and ugly people, but just not saved and led a life of folks like I spoke of this morning. My dad was a violinist, and they would play all over the place, and Dad was a concert violinist. He played, I think he was concert master of the University of Illinois Orchestra at 16. They would bring him in as a guest concert master, and as a number of times. He traveled all over giving concerts. But also he was very active in the bluegrass and that kind of music, which is, some of that's okay. At least it used to be. It was Sally has a bonnet in her hair or whatever, that kind of innocent lyrics, and they're not so innocent anymore. But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that because my dad stopped, when he got saved, he said, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that. And so they had to get another violinist to go along and play the music for him. And that went on for a number of years, and they disowned my dad. They would have nothing to do with him for probably 20-something years. And then, one at a time, my dad started just doing some things. I don't know why. I found out about it later. And just being kind and doing some things one at a time. And I have a picture of the banjo player that I talked about this morning. He's still living as far as I know. Most of my relatives, I wouldn't know them if I saw them, just because we didn't go see them because of their lifestyle. But one at a time, my dad began leading some of them to the Lord. I have a picture somewhere, among our pictures somewhere, is a picture of my dad sitting at the kitchen table at the house in which he was born, on the kitchen table. It was a different table back then, but in the old country house up in Illinois. And there's my dad sitting with my uncle and leading him to Christ. So here's the point, is that when the Lord did this for his disciples, he did it. Now let's hurry down. Verse number 12, so that after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he went back, got put them back on, and was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also, that ought there is probably in the imperative, I'm not sure, but you have an obligation is the idea there, to wash one another's feet. Now, why would that be necessary? Because they wore sandals. No doubt their feet were soiled. And they had just gone, and a couple of the disciples went and got the upper room ready and everything else. They made their way there. There was probably no steward there to wash the feet when they came in, like at other places, perhaps, where the owner or the host of the home would have somebody there to take care of the cleansing of the feet. Here, the Lord did it. So as you and I begin to turn in here in just a moment to Mark chapter 14 and the celebration of the Lord's table, and we begin to take of the elements, the unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine. As we begin to take it tonight and we're fellowshipping around the sequence, as we take it and we remember, this is my body which was broken for you. He served us. He died in our place. The master to his creation. And yet he served us. And he's asking us to do the same. A good place to practice that is right here at Calvary Baptist Church. A good place to watch for those who maybe don't have the spring in the step like they normally do. And to just go up to them and say, hey, is there anything I can pray with you about? Or maybe someone has an opportunity to be a blessing to someone that has nothing to offer in return. And maybe you can go up and just say, hey, the Lord laid this on my heart. Or maybe you can do it anonymously. And you say, Pastor, would you do this for this individual for me? And this is what I purchased, or here is some funds, or would you just go and tell him? You have someone that's praying for you every single day. They don't know exactly what to pray about, but if you'll, because they just feel like they need to do it in that kind of a fashion. When you and I do that, we practice serving others, you'll become skilled, as will I. And when the Lord puts someone else on your mind, like an enemy, like someone who doesn't deserve it, and what a blessing that will be as you're used of God in that individual's life. Would you do this? Would you pray for your pastor that I'll live what I preach? I want to, and I'm intending to, and I have tried to. And yet there's always room for improvement in that, because I can become self-focused pretty quickly. And I think most of us have that same malady of thought. So as we do that, let's turn into the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. And in doing so, I'll ask the gentlemen if they will come. And I would ask Brother Mills to come and help us with the celebration of the table. He is a deacon in absentia, but he's in heaven. And so he would probably say, Pastor, I love you, but not that much. I'm staying right here where I am. And so I appreciate Brother Allen, who's willing to help Brother Jesse in the preparation of the table. If you gentlemen want to go ahead and prepare the table, as we turn in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 14. Now, I've already mentioned it, but when we come to the section of dealing with the distribution of the unleavened bread, stop and think about what we've already discussed tonight from the John text. And that is the sequence. Why? Why did he do that? Why use the fruit of the vine? Why use unleavened bread? He says, this is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat. This is my blood. Take ye all of it, drink ye all of it. When he did that, and these disciples were not suspecting this at all, why would he do it in that fashion? And may the significance of what he did that night, may it have implications for us tonight, that as we take it, may we leave here in just a few minutes, may we leave with a renewed passion to be like Christ. As the book of Romans verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Taking the unleavened bread, partaking of the fruit of the vine, it has that very thing in mind. Because he predestinated us, he chose ahead of time for us to be just like his Son. And then he goes on in the rest of the text to tell us how that's done. So let's look at the text here tonight, the Gospel of Mark. And we'll start at verse 17. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. They began to be sorrowful. And to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? I've wondered about that many times. And the conscientiousness of these disciples. I think I know my heart, but the prophets said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so here you have these who had slept aside the Lord. They walked and went to the Caesarea Philippi and enjoyed some sweet time of fellowship with the Lord. They were there when he thought he was going to be killed when he went to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead. They were with him in so many occasions, glorious and troubling. And yet here, at this hour, hearing that one would betray, he said, Lord, is it I think I know my heart, but do I? It's like the father whose son, he wanted the Lord to heal his son. And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I think it's a healthy practice for you and for me, especially for me, to not become so used to who I am as opposed to what I was as much as who I am as to what God wants me to be. Does that make sense? And this is a grand time for me not to make a chart of here's how much I've grown, here's where I've gone, here's what I've done for the Lord. Okay, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark. Okay, Lord, where do you want me to go now? What do you want me to do now? In the fashion I'm formed now, with my idiosyncrasies, with my handicaps, with whatever I am, what do you want me to do now? They said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? He answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, it is written of him, but woe to that man, or woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And I'll ask our gentlemen if they will come and assist us with the celebration of the Lord's table. The Bible says, I'll just come here as to the this juncture. The Bible says it in this fashion. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. I'm going to ask our gentlemen if they will come, please, for the distribution of the unleavened bread. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, Brother Jesse, would you word our prayer for us, please?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time we can gather together, and especially this special part of this service. Lord, we first of all request that you would prick our conscience of any sin that might be residual in our hearts, our minds. Maybe it's a presumptuous thing. Maybe there's something overlooked. But whatever it is, Lord, we enter into this time with a very sacred mentality, very special time. And Lord, as we read through that passage, I thought of you removing the coat and standing up. Lord, I just thought of you leaving heaven and that body that was coming to earth, Lord. Just setting the stage of I'm going to resume it at a later time. We have duties to do, Lord. I just want to thank you for the body that was prepared, Lord, that you lived just the epitome of an example, Lord, of all that should be thought and done. Lord, I ask your blessing on this as we think of the broken body.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
The scriptures continued by the Lord stating, "Take, eat, this is my body." Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Scriptures continued, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. I'll ask our gentlemen if they'll come once again and will receive the fruit of the vine. Brother Allen, would you ask God's blessing upon the fruit?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord.
Yes.
Father, this time of remembrance, Lord, your Son, your only Son that was begotten here on earth, Lord. We thank you for the love that you have for them. And Father, we thank you that he was willing to be a servant,
yes,
as Pastor Gray said, for others, for all,
yes,
and also our Savior. Father, the torture and all that he withstood on the cross and before the cross and the blood that just streamed, Lord, we thank you for the blood. Father, we thank you for this service again. And thank you for your dear Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. The scriptures continued, says he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. Hallelujah, amen.
Amen.
The Lord continued to advise them, and he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament," literally a new covenant with them.
with the world, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Why don't we do this tonight? Why don't we just sing a stanza of What a Friend We Have in Jesus? And we'll just do it a cappella. We'll just do it without the benefit of the... Unless you want to play. I forgot you were over there. Do you have that? All right. If she wants to play that for us, that will help me to stay on track. All right. But what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. All right. If you will, please. Singing together, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sin and griefs to bear. What a privilege. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. Everything to Him, God, in prayer. Oh, what needs? Oh, what we often forfeit. Fed, oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for participating with us tonight in the celebration of the table. And I trust it's drawn you more closely to the Lord. And that's why the Lord has us to do it. As oft as we do it, the Bible says. It doesn't really designate a time. But we do it about every 6 weeks. And hopefully that's the purpose for that, is to have it frequently enough that it's never far away. And yet it's not so frequent that it just becomes what we do in a particular service on a particular month, the third month, the third week of the month, or whatever. And so we want it to stay very significant. And that, being significant in our lives, helps us to be faithful in the weeks in between. Thank you for being here tonight, gentlemen. Thank you for your assistance with this. And please, as you're dismissed tonight, I trust that you'll have some good fellowship. The Bible says they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, we may not do that, but as we go out, greet one another in the Lord. If there's someone, maybe you just sit on a different side or something, but greet one another in the Lord, and we'll rejoice with you. If you'll join us in standing, we'll be dismissed. All right, dismissing exactly 15 minutes early tonight. So that's fine, and that's good. All right. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Oh, how we just can bask in the glory of that, Lord. Unworthy as we are, and yet confident as we can be. Not because of our merits, but confidence in your love and in the price you paid for our sins, so that when we have eternal life, none other than our Savior said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Father, as it says in the John account that I didn't read, but after Jesus told them that the servant is not greater than his master, and they had called him Lord and Master, and so he said that I'm sending you to do that. And then after that, he said, if you do these things, happy you will be. So, Lord, as we're obedient, gladly so, obedient to thy will in our lives, whether we're talking about what we said tonight as service or any other aspect of life, following your will as best we know it, Lord, you'll give us that peace and joy, no doubt about it, but there's a happiness also that comes in. That anticipation of pleasing you again, like little Cassidy said, just wanted to hear you say, that's good, son, that's good. Lord, I pray that as we go about this week, spouse with spouse, friend with friend, child with parent, and parent with child, that we'll go about doing as you've commanded. And we know happiness will come downstream. Well, thank you for it. Please dismiss us with thy blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good night. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.